Good evening. From the words of the prophet, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed, to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said,
"Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you."
But she was greatly troubled, saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end."
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever.
Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying,
"Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins."
Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted is God with us.
The world waits for a miracle. The heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come. Oh, come, Emmanuel.
A child prays for peace on earth, and she's calling out from a sea of hurt. Oh, come, Emmanuel.
And can you hear the angels singing? Glory to the light of the world. Glory, the light of the world is here.
Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them,
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
We're trying to keep the singing down to a minimum so you don't have to breathe through your masks all that much. So, angels we have heard on high, I'm going to just sing one verse through. Let's sing it together.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deum, Gloria in excelsis Deum.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child.
And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Thank you.
Ever since the fall, God's will has been to shine a little light of, as it were, a piece of himself, so that we could grasp his glory and his goodness. Paul put it this way when he spoke of the gospel that he was sharing with the Corinthians. He said, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ."
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch on keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ram are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. Nails, spears shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense gold and myrrh, come rich and poor to own him, the King of kings, salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise the song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary.
More than 300 years ago, John Bunyan, some of you may know of him. He became a prisoner as he preached the message of the gospel. And while he was in jail, he penned an allegory called Pilgrim's Progress. Well, you know that the world has changed quite a bit since then, but some things haven't. And we still live in days where we are distressed and we experience crisis. In a sense, we, like the pilgrim in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, do walk in times of darkness. And we look for God's direction. We need his light. As one author put it, we need a light that's far brighter and more authentic than anything the flickering colors and images on our screens can provide. And by screens, I'm thinking he's referring to TV screens or even our cell phones. In Pilgrim's Progress, a man named Christian is weighed down by a great burden that's on his back. He's overcome by this burden, and he doesn't know where to turn or what to do. Evangelist, for that's the name of the person that he encounters, Evangelist points him toward a gate. It's called the Wicket Gate, and a shining light shows in the distance. From Scripture, the prophet Isaiah said this: the people who walked in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Matthew borrowed that same language in the New Testament in chapter 4, verse 16. He described the beginning of Jesus' ministry from that same passage. The people that live in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. The lights of Christmas. Before you can enjoy the lights on a Christmas tree, or the lights on a pretty wreath that may be hung on a door, or maybe you, like our family, went out to see some of the displays in the neighborhood before you can really appreciate and enjoy them, it's got to be dark. I can't say that this time in my life has been the darkest days. And I'm not trying to be all spooky, but we live in a dark day. There are people who are desperate. There are people who, even people close to us, who are struggling through some pretty dark waters right now. And I rejoice in God, even through a recent illness, that I didn't experience the worst or the deepest darkness that I could. But even a taste of it, even the feel that it's not that far away, even a sense that, wow, that could overtake us. It could be economic, it could be political, it could be physical, it could relate to our health. But the light that we're talking of, and I think that each of us need to understand this around a Christmas tree and a Christmas holiday, is that we're talking about a spiritual thing, something of a spiritual nature. And we have to come to a realization that the darkness in which we dwell is, and this is how the Scripture puts it, I'm not making this up, it's our lost and a hopeless condition. It's a spiritual condition. That's how the Scriptures talk about it. John 3:19 says it this way: this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's not that you've embraced the very worst thing that you could possibly do in your entire in the entire world or in your life. But it is that principle of sin that you act upon it. And you have a will and a mind and a proclivity, a desire to love things of this world more than you love the light that God gives. And that's what sin is. Sin is often symbolized by darkness. In 2 Corinthians 4, which we did quote a little bit earlier, the Scripture speaks of the god of this world, who is Satan, blinding the minds of those who choose not to believe. They are lost. They're deceived. They love darkness more than they love the light. Some, even unaware of their condition, embrace it being spiritually blind and dead. The Scriptures, though, talk about, and this was true in the time of Jesus, there was a period of time where there was silence from heaven. The time that's between the testaments, as it's called, from Malachi to Matthew, it's like 400 years of silence from heaven. Darkness is what it was called. And that's why John's gospel talks about it, and the young people will eventually quote this, even tonight. But John the Baptist was sent to prophesy. And he was he was a forerunner, a preparer of the way of that light. It was as if his words were kind of like the turning on or flipping on the switch so that everybody could see what was happening right in front of them. And I would pray that even this night, that we would find that to be true of our Christmas celebration this year, so that we'd enter the next with our eyes wide open to what God is going to do in our individual, personal lives, in our church, in our community. Psalm 119, 105 says this, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." A little later on, the psalmist says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." The light of God's word exposes what is wrong in our world, what's wrong among us, and also what's wrong within us. It also points us to the remedy. It reveals the mystery of God's grandeur and his holiness. This Sunday I talked about the angels being to look far in the distance as if they were looking at a beautiful sunset. And that was the metaphor for how the angels looked down into what God was doing in our individual human salvation by sending the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. He's the remedy. The light that lights God's grandeur and holiness lights our way. Bunyan's character, the pilgrim, his name was Christian in the allegory, he realized the terrible condition that he was in. There was nothing that he could do in and of himself to be relieved of his burden that was sin. And as the allegory goes, he was bound for the city of destruction. Then his eyes were opened. Light and life were offered. And the same is true today to anybody who will believe. The Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ, the baby born in Bethlehem, is the light of the world. He is a gift given to us by the Father of lights. That's how James puts, he is the giver of all good things, the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. This world is pretty chaotic. The things that we're experiencing, even if it's just in a limited way, leave us anxious and uncertain. And God is not interested in us being that way. He's interested in us finding out about himself. And James says it that way, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's that, not that he shifts and changes and moves all around so that he's like the carrot dangling in front of us that we can never get to. God, who created the sun, the moon, the stars to light the heavens, the God whose essence is equated with all that is light, goodness, honesty, purity, wisdom, glory, and love, everything that God is, as 1 John says it that way, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This is what divides us, God in his holiness and man in his sinfulness. If you recall, John 3 says that he was the light and we didn't receive him because we loved darkness rather than light. Jesus was the gift given to us to bridge that divide. The very same text that talked about darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil is the passage that we're so familiar with when it talks about God's love. And this is the interest of our loving Heavenly Father. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This happened because the Word became flesh, that Jesus came to earth, born of a virgin, the baby in the manger, and the one who believes in Jesus Christ is not lost in darkness. He is not bound for sudden and an emptiness that is no longer in existence, death. That person who believes in Jesus is never without hope. Finally, in 1 John, the very same passage we're talking about, it says, if he if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That sin that is remarkably an image of darkness is, I don't know, that's a football word, but it's tackled. It's tackled by the light that comes from God in the face of Jesus Christ. The scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe.
He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
That verse that Anthony just read, it was a very sad commentary. In that first century writing, it says he came to his own, and his own received him not. It's as if their hearts weren't ready. It's as if they were unwilling. It's as if the light was like a bright LED flashlight flashing right in their eyes. It was just too bright for them to be able to take a step forward. Sometimes I'm exasperated and frustrated. Like, don't let that be you. The light shines in darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I know that we would sing more, me if I had more voice, you if you didn't have a mask over your face, and it's best that we're not sharing too much air together. So we selected the closing song for tonight to be Silent Night. I know that traditionally we sing, O Come All Ye Faithful. But just remember the last part of that chorus. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Light those candles back up. Please stand. This is how we'll close tonight. Let's sing the first, and I think it's the first and last, but sing it right on through.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, run yon virgin mother, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quail.
Yes, the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with a dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Shall we pray together in our benediction? Father, even this day, we need your light. We need the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ more than ever. Oh, that we would embrace the Son. Oh, God, that we would take him into our hearts. We rejoice in how he came at first, while the soft touch of a mother's hand on a little child. Shepherds rejoicing and sounding the message from the hilltops. Wise men coming from a very far and distant land to offer their worship in person. Lord, it's a strange thing, even in our effort today, is that we can barely get enough people together to worship in person. Because we're afraid. The fear is legitimate, Lord. But God, today we need you more than ever. So we would meet with you in our hearts. We'd have this deep and open spot to receive you. And God, that you've not left this world in darkness. You've sent your eternal Son as the light of the world to show us your glory, to give us new life and your joy. Open our eyes to see Jesus more clearly, to trust him ever more deeply, and to serve him in the year to come faithfully and joyfully, and to find all that we need and our satisfaction in him. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, and Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you.